Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Paraphrase the title of an old song, we residents in the little house on the hill have been bewitched, bothered, and bamboozled these past few weeks by the addition of a new resident to our household, Bamboo the kitten. I'm the one who's been most bewitched. It's been a long time since I've had a kitten, and even a longer time since I've had a normal kitten. It's been over 14 years since Whittington arrived here, and Whittington wasn't what I would consider a normal kitten. Whit was from a litter that was found under a porch just at that time when the shelter and rescue community decided that nobody was a stray anymore. Everyone was feral. And some naive, and that was the cat, and somebody who didn't know much about feline behavior separated the kittens from their mother when they were very, very young. As a result, when I got Whit at 8 weeks of age, he really didn't have what I think of as a sense of catness and the confidence that goes with that. And because of that, and because I at that time had Watson, who was a puppy, he adopted Watson as his role model. He was a great cat, and I loved him dearly and still miss him. But he never had that confidence and that joie de vivre that you see in a young animal of any species who has a strong sense of what they are. They know they're cats. They know they're dogs. Instead, Whit was kind of caught in that neverland. He knew he wasn't a dog, but he hadn't been around any adult cats long enough to learn what it meant to be a cat. Bamboo isn't like that. He also got Bam at 8 weeks of age, but he entered this household knowing full well that he was a cat. And if you hear the pitter-patter of little feet or strange noises, such as now when I move him away from batting at the plant, he's into everything, and he's amazing to watch. He doesn't do anything halfway. He charges around, and everything's a game. Learn, 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 learn. So I've been bewitched by this. BB's been bothered. To her credit, even though she's gone after the kitten very aggressively, and by that I mean she puts a lot of energy into it, she's never hurt him. And because he was raised with a couple dogs and a couple kids, he doesn't back down, but he doesn't fight either. So he's not afraid. And because he's not afraid, that neutralizes the effect. We do get into these racing things with Bamboo baiting the dogs and running around. But like Frick and Ollie when they were young, Bamboo has already figured out what BB's limitations are, and he knows. He can just zip under one end of the couch or one end of a chair and out the other while BB's still trying to get under the other side. Not politically correct, perhaps, but very, very effective. The other thing that I noticed about BB that I find really, really intriguing is that periodically the little dogs and Bamboo will be upstairs racing around. I mean, just racing around, and it just literally sounds like a thundering herd. BB and I will be downstairs, and B will look up and start to bark. Now, admittedly, since BB has come into maturity, she has decided to bark at just about anything, which many times, because of her different perception, is something that I don't perceive as real. But when these races go on upstairs, you can hear them. I mean, the three of them, they go from the office to the little office, charge back around again, into the bedroom, up on the bed, hit the floor, run back, and BB looks up and she barks. I can't figure this out. I mean, it wouldn't seem that two approximately 10-pound dogs and what is, oh, I would say at the absolute most, a 2-pound kitten could be hitting the floor hard enough to create vibrations that Bibi would pick up on. This is a dog that I can run the vacuum cleaner right next to her when she's sleeping and she doesn't budge an inch. So how could she possibly be hearing anything? So that's where B is. That's the bothered part of the equation. The bamboozled, that's frickin' Ollie. They are just really, really enjoying this kitten and enjoying playing with her. They want her toys. Her. I'm still calling her a her, even though it is quite obvious, folks, she's a him. And right now, Ollie is on the ottoman, and Bam is on the chair, grabbing hold of Ollie's tail and pulling. And here comes Bibi out. And, oh, Bibi just went into her crate. Now, do you suppose she saw Bam getting into his predatory mode? I don't know. But Ollie and Bamboo are great playmates. Bamboo is constantly setting Ollie up, sneaking up on him, jumping on him, doing that leaping and that crab walk, and puffing himself up and racing across the back of the couch. And then Ollie drags him off the back of the couch by the tail, and then the two of them run around and run around some more. So that's what I do in my spare time. You know, sometimes people say to me, or they say to somebody else, what does she do all day? You know, living alone up there. What does she do all day? Well, one of the things I do is I watch. And right now, I'm watching Channel Bamboo. And like the other residents, I'm bewitched, sometimes bothered, sometimes bewildered. But all the time, blissfully bamboozled by this new addition to our house.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.